they have not done these contagion controls. They haven't pushed the lockdowns or the masking. And so how do you explain it? The way you explain it is that, in fact, they've reached critical herd immunity.
Welcome back to Grow America Outlawed. This week we got Joel Hirshhorn. Fantastic chat. Older fella. Got the shot, wishes he didn't.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of says, well, to be honest with you, I kind of regret it.
Yeah. But he seems like he's doing okay.
Yep.
I mean, hopefully that sticks around. He's a good dude. Was he a doctor or something?
Well, I mean, I'm going to read his bio. Do you want me to read it right now? And before we kind of chit-chat a little bit on it? Because, you know, this is a fantastic book because it's Pandemic Blunder. It's Fauci and the Public Health Blocked Early Home COVID Treatment, which is what Darren and I were just talking about. It's sort of happening here in front of us in Canada. And they're locking us down a little bit more. But anyways, Joel, so I think this is an important book. It's talking about the right things where, the suppression of all these other treatments and in order to get the jab out to the healthy people. So Dr. Joel Hirshhorn has a long history of working on health issues. He was a full professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where he directed a medical research program between the Colleges of Engineering and Medicine. As a senior official at the Congressional Office of Technology Assessment and the National Governors Association, he directed major studies on health-related subjects, including health risks from toxic waste sites. He testified at over 50 U.S. Senate and House hearings. He's authored hundreds of articles on journals and on websites, plus op-ed articles in major newspapers. Dr. Hirshhorn has served as an executive volunteer at a major hospital for more than 10 years and is an advisor to several organizations promoting patient-centered care. He's a member of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons and Americans Frontline Doctors. Yeah, I think he talked about the team of people that he's in connection with. And I know we did get a document, a Google Doc, and I don't know how to get it to people. I mean, maybe we should talk about this, Darren. It's about the VAERS stuff, but somebody put all the social media and all the media reports about injuries and deaths and all that and categorized it into a huge Google Doc.
Is that the one that has like all the individual people and stuff in it too?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I tweeted it.
Did you? That's good. I mean, I'm sort of thinking more for how do our listeners get it? So how did you tweet it to Google Doc?
Yeah. Show notes, yeah. But the show notes never fucking work out for this show.
Yeah.
But this always works on the website.
It works on the website. Okay. I'll throw them in the show notes anyways, cause it should be in there. I'll just make a note here. Quickly.
Some of the players don't like the password protected RSS. I can't figure out the show notes.
But it comes in after, always, doesn't like, it? Doesn't it come in after? After?
But you can always also just click on the link that'll take you to the website, log in with the same password you use for your RSS.
Okay,
honestly, you wouldn't even have to go that far. Just go to the free, go to the grammaricaoutlawed.ca and click on the free episode, and the show notes are the same.
Yeah. They are the same. And he talked about the jab and how he's like, well, you know,
I
maybe
like
for me,
like,
is he
better? The one I sent you today. No jab for me.
Well, I think that's very similar to the article I'm going to read for this outlaw. That's the 18 reasons why not to get jabbed, right? Or that's the one I was going to read for
this.
Yeah,
it's like a nice, very succinct page that nojabforme.info. And it's like got a bunch of links you can click to that'll get you to the MSDS sheets. And
oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, that's the problem. I mean, did we talk about this on Outlawed? I was sending out Pfizer documents that talk about immunosuppressed people and people with blood disorders.
Well, Ryan and I were talking about this is how we could, like, because he's got a bunch of local people. So we were like, we could get a ton of flyers out with a QR code on it that people could just scan and it could go to like a URL we buy. Because I think it'd be kind of risky to do it like America.ca/something because... You know, the anti.
So it would be like nojabforme.info in a way.
Yeah, we get whatever. Almost just like that.
And then it would have links to all these official docs.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Instagram was censoring the docs.
More Canadianized. less Fauci, more.
Well, Cam, I think the one that got censored was Canadian, though. The one that's talking about how pregnant women, it hasn't been, this is from Pfizer's own document, how pregnant women hasn't been tested on people under 16. There's no evaluation on those.
So we could kind of have some highlights on a flyer. Some, did you know? Bang, bang, bang. Ready to know more? You scan it with your phone and it takes you to a website, and Rao will get people to put up like flyers all over town.
Yeah, sounds like a plan for some guerrilla advocation.
We could print out some giant QR code flyers and like hang them on an overpass.
That would be interesting, eh? That's a good way to do it. And people that go to work every day under that overpass, finally they decide to get there. Can you do it while driving?
Well, I mean,
that would be interesting.
All you'd have to do is fucking point your camera at your phone and it pulls it up, you know.
Point your camera.
I mean, you could really just have a giant thing that says ready to know more and a QR code.
Yeah, I know that. But could you drive as you're driving under?
You'd have to point your camera at it.
Yeah. I wonder if it would take it. Because after a while, imagine going under like 10 times, you're like, okay, I got to check this out.
What is this? Oh, yeah, you'd get some people. For sure.
I mean, that's what's going to take, some guerrilla warfare tactics here for activism.
Yeah.
You know, I know. So anyways, Instagram censored it.
Underneath all the.
And it talks about the percentage of the adverse reactions, right? Which is high.
Like you get a
in
big
the
giant
trials,
one,
it was
put it
high
on the
there.
Safeway board as soon as you walk in. Boom, yeah. Like a big Bristol board that just takes over the whole thing for a day.
Yeah.
And you got some other dudes in hoodies running around, putting them under things, handing them out. I don't know. I'm not handling that part of things, but I'll make the website and stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's craziness.
Not only that, then we could have people over Canada. We can make it a downloadable file, and people over Canada could be downloading it.
Yeah.
And posting them up around their town.
Yep.
Does that make us terrorists?
Well, I mean, this is the way they're handling it right now. There's going to be a split. I mean, we've been talking about this for 9 months, but there's going to be a split in society where people that just buy into all this stuff, and there's a bunch of people that don't.
I should start running.
I don't know what the
percentage
is, but honestly, there's going to be a huge split coming up. They're ramping it up. They are doubling down.
We
got
to talk to some cool people and make sure we all live in the same like little corner right now. You know, like, can you imagine if it was like 7 of us in this neighborhood?
I know. I mean, I haven't done a good job at connecting with local people. I really haven't. I mean, we should all be on the app. Like Rise Group's got that app. They're on the app. Did you go in there? You should probably go in there.
In where?
In the app.
What app?
He's got a group chat, right, with his local men's group there. Telegram, I think.
Only you guys in your group chats.
Well, I mean, this is how we connect with people, though. You can connect with all the people in your block, and you can talk to each other through an app. I mean, you know.
I could just talk to him when I see him outside. That's what I do. I like to bring my neighbor eggs.
Good. That's good.
The old dude's back from wherever he was. Very tan.
Good. Yeah, I mean.
I think Lebanon.
It's important,
for some
dude. But we're gonna see a real big shift here, I think, coming up, because we're in another phase of lockdowns. And we were just talking about, I think, in Alberta, 45 or something people have officially passed away with no comorbidities from this.
In a year and a half. People are going to freak the fuck out, though, when their vaccines don't give them their freedom back. I'm telling you, people are going
to. But they're already starting to give freedom back, right? They're already starting to say, like, when you look at flying into the U.S., they're talking about how a jab helps you do that. There's a big flyer going around with. People allowed outside without a mask if you're jabbed, but you got to wear a mask. No, the Seattle airport is. Yeah, I mean, I looked into flying into some of those airports.
With the vaccine?
And they're talking about the vaccine.
Because all the airports I was in very clearly said the vaccine made absolutely no difference in anything.
Wow.
You wore a mask. Everything was the fucking exact same.
Yeah.
Mind you, every person I talked to in the Denver airport was fucking extremely anti-COVID. The dude I ran into the bathroom was like going off.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, I digress.
Interesting.
Yeah. I got my treaty card, so they can't stop me.
That's good. Good for you.
And like I say, I got my AstraZeneca. It's not my fault if they lost the.
You're not going to say that. You don't want to bring. Don't put yourself out of the fight.
It depends. Out of the fight. You dare to call me out of the fight, brother?
if you and the other 10 million people that are resisting this do that, then they think that, you know, then there's a pressure release that happens.
It's just good to have in your wallet just in case you're fake.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, yeah, that's fair enough, but you know what I mean.
All right. Yeah. I got to find someone that got it. I know some people. Maybe I should just get a U.S. one. It'll be harder to, like, verify for the Canadians.
Yeah.
I'll be like, well, yeah, I'm an Indian, bro. I'm down there all the time. You know, my Indian buddies down there, remember they were doing the thing for the Canadians? I'll just say they hooked me up. Fucking bingo bango. You know who I should call as my chief? If anyone will give me fake papers, it should be my reserve.
Yeah.
My tribe. You motherfuckers. Mishki go gaming. Anyway, I'm going to call him this week. He still didn't return my last call. I was freaking out about my freedom of movement.
Really?
Treaty rights.
Really?
Which is funny enough, the latest Ontario order came out that has a very, all exemptions for First Nations treaty rights.
Well, maybe that's the silver lining on here, you know? You guys get your freedom back.
You guys are all in cages, but I guess, like, fuck, there's no traffic out here. I'll smuggle you.
Should be interesting times now that they're, I'll just quickly read, I think, a little summary of what they're shutting us down for here now. They're giving certain cities the ability to enact curfews because it worked so good in Quebec. I guess they're just fucking passing this along and closing all types of gyms and sports that were still going on. Schools are now going to be online again. We're not sure what age is, but those are some of the new restrictions that are happening because the old ones work so well. And the jab is doing its job so well.
Great. You want to hear something?
Don't
funny?
Tell me what an outbreak is. You know what an outbreak is, right? It's two people.
Yeah. Listen to this. Hello. As we know, we now have more than two simultaneous confirmed cases of COVID-19.
With PCR or sick? People sick?
I don't know. Blank will be closed, undergo a health, will be, well, no, not closed, will undergo a health investigation and has been declared as having an outbreak. Our outbreak number is blank. Please give this number to the testing center if you are being tested.
Oh, that's creepy. Why?
I don't know. Although investigation sounds ominous, we have already had inspections out to the school twice this school year. The advice from those prior investigations, all of which we immediately implemented, have been to decommission every other sink and urinal. Segregate the students on the playground during recess, K-2 and 3-5, and play in different areas. Open windows whenever possible to improve fresh air ventilation and continue focusing on safety protocols.
Good thing. Do you really think any of those measures work besides opening the windows?
I don't know. I
have
like
you seen those studies about the 6 feet don't matter? The MIT study about the 6 feet doesn't do a thing?
Just easy. Even the mask. Now they're just going to lock it down hard. I mean, they should just abandon it. It seems like living with COVID is doing pretty well for Texas and Florida, I got to say, and Sweden.
Another and thing Sweden. On masks out, too. I mean, it's crazy what's happening. They're just our government's just avoiding any sort of all science that doesn't fit their lockdown.
Science! Yeah. Anyway, we should get into our interview.
Yeah, let's do this.
Enjoy the chat.
What else we got to talk about? That's it? No more housekeeping?
That's I don't know. We've been going on long enough.
We're streaming on Rockfin the first hour of these. So head over to rockfin.com.
.com/GrandAmerica. GrandAmerica.ca/swag if you want to get some cool gear.
There is new YouTube, so no YouTube.
No YouTube. No. Fuck YouTube.
Adultbrain.com. Adultbrain.ca where audiobooks are. Cool Secret Doctrine is out. We're doing the next Secret Doctrine soon. Secret Teachings is almost out. Please help support us that way as well.
Yeah. Enjoy the chat with Joel Hirshhorn.
All right, Joel Hirshhorn, welcome to Grimerica Outlawed.
Good to be with you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. I would like to mention right off the bat, your book, The Pandemic Blunder. Fantastic book. But I think it would be good to talk about your background a little bit and what sort of got you to to writing it. I mean, I do think that this is the type of book that people need to read. They need to see, like, it's exactly what we should be talking about, you know, why we got all this stuff that really could have helped this plandemic or this pandemic blunder, as you say, got suppressed. And we went down this whole other path that we didn't really need to go down. But before exactly. before we get into that, maybe we'll get into your background a little bit and
okay.
how you're involved in all this.
Well, I've been working on health issues for well over 40 years. I started out as a professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And one of the big things I did there was to direct a research program between the medical school and the engineering college. And I worked on this medical research project for a number of years, worked with a lot of orthopedic surgeons. And I enjoyed that, working with physicians very much. And from there, I went on to work for a congressional agency, U.S. Congress, Office of Technology Assessment, and worked on a lot of health-related issues for the U.S. Congress, particularly people exposed to pollution and toxic waste, toxic chemicals.
Wow.
And I did that for 12 years, I think, now, and worked with people all over the country. And then my other big position was senior official at the National Governors Association, which is like the trade association for all the U.S. state governors. And again, worked on health-related issues there. So I have a long history of working on all kinds of different health-related issues. And when the pandemic began, I just didn't follow the regular mainstream media. I'm able to read the medical literature. I can read, published medical research articles. And I started to really dig into what were the researchers saying, the physicians and other kinds of researchers, what were they saying during the beginnings of the pandemic? And I immediately sort of got shocked in a way, because I immediately found out in the first few months of 2020 that there was some great work being done. It started out in France, Dr. Didier, and then was taken over by a great doctor in New York, Dr. Zelenko. And Zelenko wrote the foreword for my book, which I'm very proud of. So Zelenko and followed up on the work in France and took it up another notch, basically. And the data that was coming out from Zelenko was just amazing, because this was a community physician who had a lot of elderly patients with pretty bad cases of COVID-19. And he had developed and was putting out data, though he couldn't get it published right away. But he had some great data that he was curing his COVID patients with his, call it a protocol or a cocktail. It was based on, at that time, hydroxychloroquine, which was a generic medicine that had been used for 50 or 60 years, an approved generic drug, cheap drug. And he had improved on what they had done in France, because he added zinc to the hydroxychloroquine. It turned out that was a sort of an act of genius, because zinc gets the hydroxychloroquine into the cells in the body. It's not that hydroxy by itself didn't work. It worked in Marseille and what the French were doing, but What Zelenko did was taking it up a notch, and other people soon followed. When you go back and follow the dates when things were happening, in March of 2020, I discovered there were several doctors using what was then called the Zelenko protocol. Some doctors in California, particularly George Farid, another great doctor, was also curing his patients
Was that with the azithromycin too? Is that in there?
Yes, that became added to the cocktail early on, by Zelenko and others. See, there's some, you know, you can question, was that really necessary? Maybe not. It didn't do any harm. And then there's even a simpler antibiotic with less issues, doxycycline.
Yeah.
And doxycycline was also started to be used by various physicians. And, you know, all these doctors, we have some great doctors in the United States, and I'm sure in Canada too. In fact, I'm communicating with one regularly in Canada. So what amazed me, though, early in the pandemic, I'm reading about what these pioneering doctors are doing and accomplishing. And something strange is happening because this good news isn't being sort of promoted by the mainstream media. And what happened, here's the what happened in terms of the media, was that Zelenko and a couple of other doctors on the East Coast got access to the White House. So this is during early 2020, and they got access to Trump's physicians, and they shared their data. Dr. Smith in New Jersey, Zelenko in New York, and a couple of others, they shared their data on how great their results were with hydroxychloroquine. And that's why President Trump took the hydroxychloroquine. His big mistake, however, was going public with taking the hydroxy, because there were such anti-Trump forces operating in the country, and they just didn't go after Trump. They went after hydroxychloroquine. I don't think that was any accident, because I think there were people inside the establishment, particularly National Institutes of Health, particularly Dr. Fauci, who I have very negative views on, and they decided to really condemn the use of a cheap generic drug, hydroxychloroquine. Why did they do that? And Fauci is probably the most powerful bureaucrat ever in the history of the U.S. government. And he had a different kind of agenda.
And which is playing out now, right? I mean, now you can clearly see why they did that back then.
Yes, and it to me, it became pretty clear, because when I learned a whole lot of detail about Fauci's background, nothing surprised me, really. So what Fauci wanted to do was use what we now call these sort of pandemic controls, these nasty freedom-killing things like masking and lockdowns and social distancing. That was his priority. And then his other priority, which came very quickly, by the way, in early 2020, was he promoted and got approved a very expensive drug that had been around for quite a while, a drug called remdesivir. And this was a $5,000 drug for one use for a hospitalized patient. And here's what I want to emphasize about the philosophy of Zelenko and these other great doctors. They wanted to keep their patients out of the hospital. I mean, it's such a simple thing to say, but that was their medical objective, to keep their patients out of the hospital. And they were very successful. All these pioneering doctors pretty much were almost 100% successful. They didn't lose patients. Their patients didn't die, and their patients didn't have to be admitted to the hospital. But what Fauci was promoting was a drug for an expensive drug for hospitalized patients. And he quickly also got on the bandwagon of promoting vaccines for COVID-19. What he didn't promote, and this is what's fascinating, and what I cover in the first chapter of my book, is understanding the whole history of medicine. And this is really an important point. If you go back hundreds of years, What did physicians have as a first priority? In addition to saying, first, do no harm, their first priority was to act quickly to help their patients with any kind of illness or disease. The idea of acting quickly to help their patients. And you don't see that in what Fauci was promoting from the very beginning. So he skipped right over, in a sense, the idea of using these cocktails or protocols that Zelenko and others had documented were working. Fauci seemed to have no interest in that. And then he took it a step further, because what he did as a very high-level official at the National Institutes of Health, he managed to put out official words called guidance from NIH and FDA, which basically told the medical world, the world of physicians and hospitals, not to use hydroxychloroquine. And later, there was a drug that started to replace hydroxychloroquine, a drug called ivermectin. Same kind of history, decades of use for diseases, FDA approved, cheap, is very cheap generic drug, ivermectin. Well, what Fauci did was put out this language, which basically aimed at stopping use in the United States and ultimately the world, as much as he could control that, stopping the use of these generic, cheap protocols that we had a handful of doctors showing worked. I want to use the word cure, because the Zelenko protocols cured COVID-19. We use the word treatment, but I want to emphasize that they cured their patients, even very elderly patients. They cured them of the COVID-19 virus, okay?
That's the word that gets you censored off of YouTube. We had to change it. We had to change the title of one of our podcasts because we read an article about all these cures for COVID, and even the podcast. We had to respell the word "cured" even in the podcast, which is sort of, the last sort of area of free speech. But they're catching things in the titles now.
Yeah, I got worried. People have been surprised that I managed to keep my book out there.
Yeah.
And I have Fauci in the subtitle.
Yeah.
But the whole point is that the first priority of doctors, okay, act quickly. And if you have a proven cure, hell, you want to use that, okay? So we had a lot of doctors who probably wanted to use it, but statistically speaking, I have to emphasize this, really very few doctors in the United States, and even few around the world, relatively speaking, have been able to use these cures for COVID-19 because of what the government has done to limit widespread use of these protocols, these cocktails that work, that we know work. And by the way, my background was in research, okay, as an academic. So I'm data-oriented, and the one thing I'm proud of in my book is that I put a lot of data into the book.
Yep.
And you don't have to be, a PhD physicist to understand this data. The data is very clear. And there was an enormous amount of data that was coming in the early months of 2020, and it kept coming in, basically. And I give the websites in the book also, so people can go to these websites. The data's constantly being updated. But the amazing thing that struck me was that this enormous amount of data also from other countries, okay? So we had tremendous amounts of data coming in showing that the hydroxychloroquine and later the ivermectin was really working, okay? And you could look at places around the world and locations where hydroxy was being used. The guy in France used it first in the Marseille region, and the rate of COVID deaths and hospitalizations was extremely low. But for some political reasons, the rest of France did not adopt the hydroxy cocktail that Dr. Didier developed in the Marseille region and used. The rest of France had much higher rates of COVID-19 deaths and hospitalizations. So, and I tell this, I thought, an interesting story in the book, and a kind of accidental experiment was what happened in Switzerland. So Switzerland started to, early on, provide easy access. And some countries, by the way, gave hydroxy out free. It was over the counter, not even prescription in most countries around the world, okay? So in Switzerland, they were using early on the hydroxy, and they had these wonderful statistics, very low COVID deaths and hospitalizations. Something went wrong politically, okay? And they withdrew access to the hydroxy. What happened? The data went off the charts. The data for deaths and hospitalizations skyrocketed, okay? Because they stopped using the hydroxychloroquine. Well, the world went a little crazy in Switzerland. So after, I think, weeks, basically, they put back the access to hydroxychloroquine, and the data that was, you could see it plotted up, came all the way back down to where it was originally before they stopped the use of hydroxy. So that was kind of this interesting experiment, okay? But in a sense, there was a larger experiment. Of course, there were countries around the world where the data on the pandemic was pretty good, actually. And when you dug into that data, it was in countries where they had created access to hydroxychloroquine and then also ivermectin, this other drug. And the other thing I want to emphasize, and this also evolved during 2020, that there is a cocktail that smart people sort of developed and where you don't need any prescription medicine. And I've been on it for many months, and my wife, we've been taking it, and I've spoken to a lot of other people who've been taking this simple cocktail, four ingredients, no prescription medicine. It's based on using zinc tablets and quercetin, which is a supplement easily available, and vitamin D and vitamin C. You can take those four, and the numbers are in my book, you know, how much you take of each, roughly. And it turns out that that's a wonderful cocktail, too. And by the way, I use the word treatment and cure. The other word that we should use is prevention. And this becomes more important as time has gone on, because all those cocktails that doctors had been using also acted as a prophylactic. And they proved that. The same doctors that proved that the cocktails or protocols cured COVID were also showing that it prevented getting serious COVID infection. This four-ingredient cocktail with no prescription medicine is a good prevention approach. And why we have to stress the word prevention, because what became clearer over time, obviously, I think, for some of us anyway, is that when you talk prevention, now you're talking about competition to vaccines. Because the notion behind the vaccines for COVID is that it's going to prevent you from getting ill, seriously ill, and dying from the COVID infection. Well, my point is that these protocols and cocktails that I've talked about in terms of cure also work in terms of prevention. So now you see why Fauci has a real problem, because he's never backed down, never reversed course, no matter how much data people like me have put out there that these cocktails and protocols really work. They work to cure COVID. They work to prevent COVID. Fauci hasn't budged an inch. I'm still writing articles and getting them published on conservative sites, and he has no conscience, you know?
But it's not just him.
Yeah, I was just going to say the exact thing.
It's like circling the entire globe. It's one not after just him. Another yeah. after another. It's every province of Canada now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Canada nationally. I mean, yes. I don't know if that's just because it's top down from Canada to the provinces. And that's why, or I mean, why do you think we're seeing this lockstep? Because it seems like we're already in some sort of pharmaceutical total recall fucking nightmare. But I'm hoping I'm wrong about that.
Because, like, do you know of anybody, like, you mentioned Fauci putting that out on the NIH and the FDA. There's no keeping people out of the hospital. There's no protocol. When if you're sick and you get tested, they just wait till you get sicker and then you go to the hospital. Yes. So So I don't think in Alberta, where we are, and I don't think anywhere in Canada, there is any, there's no advice to do anything. There's no treatment or any, even if you test positive and you have it, they're telling us nothing, I don't think.
It's I use the word blunder for the title of my book. It's actually, that's too soft a word. It's a scandal. It's sinful. And at the end of my book, I actually use data and very important, again, the real world data. And my estimate is that 70 to 80% of COVID deaths could have been prevented, okay, based on real data. And then a few weeks ago, one of the most famous and prestigious physicians in the United States, a doctor named Peter McCullough down at Baylor University in Texas, he went a little better than me. He said 85% COVID deaths could have been prevented. And this is just a couple of weeks ago where he said that. And I'm involved with him and a bunch of other doctors in a certain kind of group. And so when you play those numbers out, I was crunching some numbers today. In the U.S., we have over 560,000 COVID deaths officially, okay? That means that we could easily say over 400,000 deaths. These people died unnecessarily. These people died because of the stupidity. It's the evil intention of people like Fauci to keep early treatment, again, early home treatment, you know, treatment not for people in hospitals. Again, it's too late. And I can just quickly tell you why these protocols and cocktails that I've talked about, why they work. Because COVID-19 as a disease, as an infection, goes through several phases. And the first phase is really simple to understand. The first stage or phase is where the virus replicates in your body. It starts to multiply. So when you do something that we can call a cure, something really effective, the reason it works is because it stops the replication of the virus, okay? By the time you send people to hospitals because they really have got serious symptoms, it's too late because you've gone through the first stage or phase, and now you're into the second and third stages, which turn out to be really awful stages to get. That's why some people really are in the hospital for long times and why so many people die, because once you get past that first stage of the virus attacks your body and all the organs in your body. And it's a very serious disease. So although some of the data, I think, cannot be trusted, do we overcount some of the COVID deaths? We probably do, because most of us have read these. I've seen statistics where people, you know, in some states in the U.S., people are dying in automobile accidents or motorcycle accidents or being killed by guns, you know, so they're shot dead. And in many cases, they are still counted as COVID deaths. And the reason is, if they do any kind of testing of a dead person and they find some evidence of COVID virus in their bodies, they are classified as a COVID death. Why? Because the U.S. government created this perverse economic incentive that they would pay hospitals more money if the hospital classified a death as a COVID death, okay?
Well, they do it up here, too. It's not just the states. They do it up here, too, and they admit that they're doing it.
Here, I think it's if you're within, like, if you tested positive for COVID within 28 or 45 days, and boom, it's COVID.
It's crazy stuff, okay? So there is some overcounting of COVID deaths. I don't think it's dramatic. It might be something like 10%, probably. I think most of the COVID deaths are legitimate people dying. As we know, old people, elderly people dying in nursing homes, big catastrophe in New York State. You know, if Fauci is evil, I think he is. Governor Cuomo in New York State is evil plus, you know, for what he did. You know, I say Fauci and people like Cuomo, they have killed people. It is criminally negligent homicide is a term I like to use. It has been criminal. And I'll give you another sort of thing that doesn't get much attention. It's in my book. Then I've recently wrote an article about this. The U.S. government, the U.S. Congress, passed a law in 2016. It's known by the Cures Act is the name, the Cures Act. The 2016 law, who signed the law, you know, signed the bill into law? It was President Obama, okay? This is 2016, mind you. Long before, you know, COVID-19 came. But one of the critical things in that law that the only person that ever mentioned it in writing, I found amazing, was Dr. Zelenko. And I don't know how he came upon this, because hardly anyone else has ever noticed this. But in that 2016 law, it requires the government agencies, like FDA and NIH, to use what's called, and this is the language is in the law, and it's very critical, it's called real-world evidence. Real-world evidence. They put that into the law because they wanted to move the whole health medical system in a direction of not depending on these fancy randomized clinical trials, which take years to do, are very expensive. Big drug companies like to do them. But what the law, 2016 law, said, you're supposed to use clinical data. You're supposed to use the kind of data that was coming from Zelenko and Fareed and McCullough, all these doctors, you know, and all these places around the world that were using hydroxy and then ivermectin. Real world evidence. So what I say now is Fauci actually broke a law. He didn't follow the 2016 law. If he had followed it, he would have had to sanction the use of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and the whole early treatment regime that people like me have been promoting, which is the major theme in my book, is that, you know, we have a cure. We've had a cure since March of 2020. And Fauci didn't obey the 2016 law. He has not obeyed his sort of moral obligation as a physician to act quickly for patients, for people who get any kind of disease, but in this case, COVID-19. And so it is an amazing story that this could happen. You know, I don't know whether an honest history of this pandemic will ever be written, because if it ever gets written, somebody's going to have to fess up to the fact that we've been killing. Now, the new data, the global data on COVID deaths, whether you guys have caught this, but the last number that I saw just a day or so ago, it's now over 3 million worldwide in terms of COVID deaths. Now, think about that. Let's say 80 or 85% of those deaths could have been prevented. Wow, we're talking about an enormous number of lives that could have been saved, that should have been saved, if we had, you know, people honest enough to accept the real world evidence in the spring. The spring of 2020. It was clear by then that we had the cure for COVID-19, and that if we were smart, we'd be taking the same kind of protocols and things I've talked about in terms of a prevention of what they call a prophylactic. So people, and if we had done that, then you'd have to question, well, why the hell are we pushing most of the world to get the vaccine? And I have some strong views. I mean, I follow this stuff pretty closely, okay? I'm reading
medical. Let's save the vaccine stuff for the second half.
Okay. But so
I have strong views too.
Well, you know, but the whole story is, and the other guilty party here, it's just not Fauci. It's the mainstream media.
I was just going to say that because it really surprised me that, because I thought this was going to come about in April too. I thought, okay, well, there's all these cures, there's all these studies that, you know, this was before ivermectin came out, but it was the HCQ stuff, and vitamin D has been talked about all the way along. Vitamin D has been talked about. And then those two bogus HCQ studies get so much media attention. I mean, did it surprise you that they can just throw those out there and then discount all the good studies? And that not only the mainstream media, but the rest of the medical and academia seem to just go right along with it. Like, I mean, how crazy is it that so many people are brainwashed at the highest levels of the scientific establishment, except for, I mean, I know you have your groups of doctors and there's the great Barrington and there's a whole bunch of people pushing back, but
it's not that they were brainwashed. It's that they were corrupted. You know, those two articles you're talking about, one in Lancet, one in New England Journal of Medicine, condemning hydroxy use, okay? Well, they turned out to be phony medical research articles. And they had to be withdrawn by those two publications. How could this happen?
The Lancet has a history of shady behavior, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's why I want to use the word corruption. Because those kinds of big-time medical journals, where do they get their money from? Well, it's the same story with Fauci. And it comes from big drug companies. Big drug companies are very smart in using their big money to control things. And they control big-time medical journals, too. And, you know, when I got into looking at the details about Fauci's history, the one thing you realize is he had a long history. I'm going back decades, many decades, of working with big drug companies. That was his history. He worked on AIDS, and he got very involved with big drug companies. Fauci is what we call today a globalist. He's tied up with big drug companies. He's the one who funneled the millions of dollars to the Wuhan lab in China, from which I believe the virus, COVID-19, came from.
And there's evidence of that, right?
Oh, I think clear evidence that there's no other explanation that holds water. But the point is that Fauci, actually against U.S. government policy, using a middleman, so to speak, a certain organization, he funneled his money, millions of dollars, to create the new Wuhan laboratory. And the money was to be used for what they call gain-of-function research to make viruses more lethal, more lethal, more dangerous, more killing, okay? That's where Fauci's head was. That's why he gave the money to the Wuhan laboratory, okay? So when you look at Fauci, he was connected to China and the Communist Party in very tangible ways. He has been connected to big drug companies, and he's also been connected for many years with the World Health Organization. So in my mind, these are all negative aspects of Fauci's history, okay? So he's not this, so the media has put him on this pedestal that Fauci somehow is the savior, is the godlike figure in terms of this pandemic, that he's done these wonderful things. I don't think Fauci has done anything good in everything he's done to what I call mismanage the pandemic. You know, we've had now just an enormous amount of research done showing that the lockdowns don't work. The masking does not work. I put the results of one of the early studies in my book in Denmark, which they showed that masking did not work effectively. And more research has come out about masking, none of it good for masking, and an enormous amount of research out in terms of lockdowns, showing that there are such negative consequences in terms of health of the lockdowns, okay? The masking may not harm you. It won't really help you, probably. But the lockdowns really have greatly harmed people wherever they've been used. And we're seeing that, you know, people have put off cancer treatments, surgeries, you know, school closings. This is the other thing about what Fauci promoted. School closings have not done any good for children, okay? He's done great harm for children. So I can't see anything that Fauci has done which has been particularly positive. And here's another thing where I fault the media and how they refer to Fauci. You almost always see, not only is he always referred to as the, you know, the best virologist in the country, but they often usually refer to him as a public health expert. And what's interesting to me, people don't do their homework. Fauci is not a public health expert. He's not credentialed as a public health person. We have, in almost every major university, I'm sure in Canada too, you have schools of public health. You have medical schools, but then you have colleges or schools of public health. Public health is a profession. And every way you look at every level of government, everywhere, you have public health departments and public health officials. These are people who have academic training in public health. And there are some great public health people. And one of the great, he's a physician and an epidemiologist, and at the Yale School of Public Health is Dr. Risch, who's exceptionally good and honest, and one of the few really, he gets in the media somewhat, totally trustworthy. But the point about being a public health official I want to emphasize is that if you're a legitimate public health official, your obligation professionally is that whenever you advocate for a public health action of some sort, you're supposed to look at both the negative and the positive consequences of your public health action. And what do you see when you look at the history of Fauci? He never talked about the negative impacts or consequences of the actions he was promoting and advocating. He only has this sort of facile way, really awful way of talking in very general terms, but always looking at the positive from his perspective, the positive aspects of what he is promoting and advocating, not the negative one. So he got away with, you know, promoting the lockdowns, the school closings, the mandatory masking and all this stuff. Without talking about all the negative consequences. So why the media still talks about Fauci as a public health person is mind-boggling to me. In the U.S., NIH is not a public health agency. It's a research agency. FDA is a regulatory agency, not a public health agency. Actually, in the U.S., we only have one true public health agency, and that's CDC. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, okay? And the Surgeon General, which is sort of part of that. But Fauci, he's not a public health person. He should never be, you know, described as a public health person. So I have nothing good to say about Fauci. I think I give lots of good data and evidence in the book as to why nobody should trust anything that Fauci says. Or what he advocates.
Do you think some of the other countries following suit is just following the U.S.'s lead, or is this like a who-down thing?
Yeah, I think it's a who-down thing. I mean, I think Fauci's sort of, I feel like Fauci doing it on behalf of the who, and then the who's also giving everybody else their marching papers.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. The power of Fauci is indescribable. I mean, I have worked. I live outside of Washington, D.C. I work for the U.S. Congress. I work for the governors. I worked for decades in the world of politics and public policy. Okay, so I know. I'm telling you, Fauci is the most remarkable
anomaly
bureaucrat. You know, and also, by the way, I pointed this out many months ago, and things I wrote. He's the highest paid U.S. government employee. Makes more money than the president of the United States. And then gets more money, interestingly enough. I have one example in the book that some entity gave him $500,000. And then a month or so ago, 2 months maybe now, an entity in Israel gave him $1 million. So this is a guy who is so elevated by the media, not just in the U.S., but globally, that he's getting all kinds of money. And nobody even has all the details. How rich he has become because he's so praised every day. I used to get these Google News alerts, and I used to put in, I subscribed to get Fauci alerts. I stopped it because every day I had all these listings of all the talks he was doing on television, radio, in print, every medium you can think of, Fauci, every day. I don't know how this guy ever does an ounce of real work. Because he's only in the media, and this has been going on for the last year or so. So it never ends, basically. And so he is such a successful bureaucrat. And here's something that nobody else talks about: how he has this enormous power, but always follow the money. Okay, and when you follow the money, if you do your little homework, what you will learn is that at National Institutes of Health, where Fauci has one of, I think, 19 divisions, he gives out, and this has been going on now for decades, he has $3 to $4 billion that he gives out every year in terms of grants to people in the academic world, to drug companies, whoever he wants to give money to. So how do you control the medical academic establishment in particular? You control it when you're giving out to all of these academics billions of dollars. And this has been going on for many, many years, right? So if you talk honestly to some doctors in the U.S., certainly, you will find out that they can't go public with their true beliefs about the pandemic or about Fauci, because they depend on getting annual grants to support their research projects from Fauci.
Well, in Canada, they rely on the government for their paycheck.
Well, you know, it's the same
even
thing.
Even in a private practice, money, they're paid from the government. The government's footing the bill.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm just saying that's why relatively few physicians in the U.S. speak out freely. Not that they can get access to the media. You know, it's almost, I can't get any access to the mainstream media, okay? Most doctors can't. And we've only had a handful of doctors getting some access, mostly to conservative, what we would call conservative media in the U.S. But it's a really sad story what's going on here. And I want to, here's another fact that nobody talks about. In the U.S., I don't know details about Canada, but in the U.S., the overwhelming majority of physicians, they work for hospitals or they work for big healthcare organizations, corporate entities, okay? There are very few what we would call independent physicians anymore in the U.S. They are a minority of physicians because they have their own practices and they run them like a small business or whatever, okay? And when you look at, well, that's what Zelenko is, that's what George Farid is, and most of the doctors that I followed from the beginning who were using these cures for COVID, they were almost always independent physicians, okay? Because the ones who are working for corporate entities of any kind, those corporate entities have their hands tied by the official language that has come out of NIH and FDA against using these cures, against using hydroxy, against using ivermectin, okay? So the vast majority of physicians, I remember going to my primary care physician months ago now, and I said, listen, you know, I'm researching the pandemic. I really know a lot about this stuff. Would you give me a prescription for hydroxychloroquine? He looked at me like I was talking another language, you know? He said, no, I couldn't do that. There's no way I could do that. You don't have anything for which hydroxychloroquine is a legitimate approved medicine, okay? And it's not approved for COVID. So I said, well, I'm worried about getting COVID. Will you give me? No. Okay. So everyone who has tried this has run up against the same thing. Now, there are these doctors, though, Zelenko and Fareed and others around the country, who do prescribe hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And in my book, there are two organizations that you can go to. You can go to their websites. And I'm a member of both of those organizations. One is America's Frontline Doctors, and the other one is the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. Both of those organizations on their websites have ways for ordinary people to get in touch with a doctor who will prescribe them. If they want hydroxychloroquine, if they want ivermectin, they can get them. And I know people have done this, okay? And it's not outrageously expensive. So there is a way to get around of, you know, what Fauci has done here in the U.S. I don't know the story in Canada, but I got my supplies of hydroxy and ivermectin from China. I mean, you don't have to be too bright. I mean, there are ways to get these medicines. I had some prior experience, and I traveled to China once, and I discovered, I found this pharmacy in China, and I bought all kinds of drugs on my trip to China, and then I kept in touch with this pharmacy. And I found out that I could order through the mail prescription drugs that I couldn't get in the U.S. easily, or I could get them cheaper from China, as it turned out. But anyway, there are these organizations that people can... They're still... I don't challenge the use of hydroxy or ivermectin, even though I'm taking the supplement and vitamin cocktail. Others may want to... There's a lot of research data. Again, ivermectin really works. There are two doctors. There are two doctors that have gone public. One is McCullough in Texas, and I can't think of the other one by name. But two of them have said publicly that they got COVID. Okay, these are doctors who got COVID. What did they take? And they have gone public and said they took ivermectin. They took some other stuff too, but they cured themselves of COVID within a few days, basically. Again, the trick always with hydroxy and ivermectin is to take it very early.
I meant to ask you how long the first phase was.
Well, what Zelenko and others have said, their goal as physicians is to try to get these generic drugs into their patients' bodies within the first 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 days of the first symptoms, serious symptoms of COVID or a positive test for COVID. So we're talking, usually you try it within a week or less, you try to get these drugs into people's bodies.
Okay, that's not too bad. I thought it would be a little less than that.
No, you have some time. And again, people like me, I'm just taking, you know, my vitamin supplement cocktail twice a day, every day, okay? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm 81 with a very serious heart condition. I took the vaccine too, okay? I mean, I probably, when I took it a couple of months ago now, I'm watching the data every day in the groups I belong to. I can tell you that the overwhelming number of researchers and physicians who are writing about this have very negative views about the vaccine. I know you don't want to talk about the vaccine right now, but I probably wouldn't have taken it if I had to make the decision today. But a few months ago, I work in the hospital. I've been working for over 10 years. I didn't say this. Part of my history is I work in a Johns Hopkins hospital and have for over 10 years. And so I got access to the Moderna vaccine pretty early on and took it because, I'm 81 with a heart condition. So it kind of made sense. But that, I'm not saying that's true for everyone by any means. But today, there are more and more people. I find it interesting that more and more people have learned about vitamin D and vitamin C and quercetin and zinc. And that, remember, quercetin acts like hydroxychloroquine.
With zinc.
Quercetin. With zinc.
Yeah.
Okay. Quercetin. Okay. That's the important thing. Quercetin gets the zinc into the cells. Okay. That's why quercetin is such a powerful supplement. Relatively cheap also.
Yeah. And it's everywhere. It's like everybody's got it in the local drugstore pretty much.
Oh, anywhere where you buy vitamins, you should be able to find quercetin and zinc. And vitamin D obviously is everywhere. Vitamin C is everywhere. So it's just something simple to do. Now, I'm kind of surprised that there is a very famous guy with a powerful audience who is selling zinc and vitamin D, but not the quercetin. And that's kind of silly, actually, because anyone who does a little bit of research and looks at the literature should be able to find out pretty quickly that you want if you're going to take zinc, you want to take the quercetin also. Now, zinc by itself, even with vitamin D, is not the best answer. Okay.
Do you think the lack of treatments might be a loophole to maybe, I don't know. I mean, maybe the gallows is probably a stretch. Jail's probably a bit of a stretch too, but do you think we might actually see, because we know we're not going to get to the vaccine makers and we'll get to that in a minute. But do you think that, you know, my politicians, because I drive around Alberta here in Canada, and it's the same thing here. They haven't once said vitamin D or Hydra this or nothing. Fucking nothing.
Not even sunshine, not even sunshine, exercise.
Not get exercise, well, what you're eating. But I drive by billboards that say, what vaccine's right for you? Any of them. Get whatever vaccine you can get, no matter what age you are, because it's the only way to be healthy. So do you think there's a chance, sort of the last questions before we get into the fun stuff, do you think there's a chance that some of these public officials might be, I mean, there's a real chance not going to be able to show their faces here again shortly, but do you think there's a chance there could be some, they could be opening themselves up for some legal repercussions?
I can only hope so. I mean, I keep waiting for somebody to file legal suits against Fauci and Cuomo and, you know, people who've really done terrible things. You know, you mentioned something about vitamin D and healthy, sort of healthy living. What the other crazy thing about Fauci, he never promoted sort of healthy living. He actually did an awful thing. He didn't want people to go to the beach. You know, the lockdowns, the whole psychology was to keep people inside, which is the worst thing you can do. If you want to deal with this pandemic, you want people to spend time outside in the sunshine. You want them to exercise. And Fauci, again, not being a public health official, never promoted sort of healthy living for a pandemic situation. And the other thing that's worth mentioning, and this research has not been published widely, when you look at what they call comorbidity, why people die from COVID-19, and they say, well, because they have some serious medical condition. Well, somebody did some research, and they found what is the most prevalent health condition that links with COVID deaths.
Obesity.
Obesity is it. And when you look at all these people dying, particularly minorities, African-Americans, Hispanic people, and they often show pictures of these people who and the families who were suffering, And one thing you'll keep noticing, they're all obese. And the U.S., I don't know about Canada, but the U.S.
78%, I think, of all U.S. deaths would have been classified as obese.
Yeah. I mean, we have the highest rate of obesity of any nation, I think, in the world. And that's why when you look at other countries which have very good statistics in terms of very low rates of COVID deaths, one of the things you ought to ask yourself, first off, is there a lot of sunshine? And the second thing is, are these countries with its very low rates of obesity? And a lot of these countries in Asia, and I've traveled all over the world. I used to travel incredibly every year before this pandemic. I've been almost everywhere in the world. And I can tell you, you go to a lot of these countries, you don't see obese people. You go to anywhere in the U.S., pretty much, you know, all you see is obese people. And that is a really serious issue that doesn't get any public attention, because real public health officials should be talking about controlling obesity in this pandemic, okay? Not just getting out, but going out and getting exercise, getting sunshine, but also dealing with your obesity.
Yeah.
That would be a preventive approach to the pandemic.
Before we move on, because I've got so many questions here, but the vitamin D thing, it's not just a correlation, right? There's definitely a link between high levels or significant levels of vitamin D and getting through this, right? Can you just talk about that a little bit? Because I think this is the solution base is so helpful to people. People now have links in America if they want to go get these different treatments. And you've talked about, you know, the vitamin sort of protocols. I mean, this is, I think, really important stuff. And this is all, you know, stuff that's been suppressed. It's really leads into the next part of the discussion, which is sort of the intention and the vaccines and all that. But let's just clarify, because at first, people are just going, oh, it's just correlation doesn't equal causation. It's just vitamin D levels that they don't mean anything. But now that you were seeing enough studies that say it's connected.
It is connected. And I think one way to look at it, there are a lot of things that you can take in terms of vitamins and supplements that boost your immune system. So to understand why some things work, it's the question is, do they improve your immune system? So, okay, that's how you're going to sort of ward off, so fight a virus, is if you have a strong immune system. And that's, you know, I've been taking for years, actually, but now more than ever, I take a bunch of things that strengthen your immune system. And that's what you're looking for. The question is, again, most of these things that are being talked about today, especially vaccines, the question that you have to ask is, do they kill the virus? Most of the time, the answer is no. Okay? So, but again, if you can stop the virus from replicating, that's what a lot of these, you know, hydroxy and ivermectin and the zinc and the quercetin, they can stop the virus from replicating. But other things that you take safeguard your health in the pandemic, because what they're doing is boosting your immune system.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. But I'm no, you know, expert on the details at the cellular level, but I can tell you that it's strengthening the immune system is what so many of these things that we can do make sense. It's all about a stronger immune system.
Before we wrap up here, let's talk about that book a little bit, where people can get it, your website, if you've got it.
I don't have an insignificant website, and I don't even try to sell the book on. I've hardly ever used it over the years. And, for me, Amazon is a great place, because I know people have some negative views about Amazon, but, you know, I think it's the world's biggest bookseller. And what I chose to do, I made choices so that people can get a very either no cost or very low cost Kindle version. A lot of people use Kindle, basically a form of ebook, and that's on my page in Amazon for my book. Is people who there's a way that some people buy into Kindle, and my book costs nothing for those people. or it costs only $5. If they want the regular soft cover edition, Amazon discounts the price, so it's the lowest price around. And it's easy to buy books on Amazon. So every outfit that sells books sells my book. I mean, I've checked, and Barnes & Noble and any other thing you can think of, they all have access to sell my book. But it's been a major job to promote the book. I mean, for me, trying to get on podcasts, and I have some things I do on, I can do things on some conservative sites where I can keep pumping out every day. I go to some places and I pump some stuff out to try to draw some attention to the book. But promoting a book is a lot worse than writing the book. That's all. I don't enjoy it. I just hired, at the recommendation of a podcaster who was very nice to me, and he said, well, he's using this booking agency to get you on podcasts, and he really recommended it to me. So I've signed up for not a lot of money to try them out and see whether they can deliver getting me on more podcasts. But, you know, I have sent emails to probably 100 or more podcasters, and my rate of return is not great in terms of, I got to you because somebody, a friend of yours and mine, gave me 15 podcasts.
Yeah.
And, but finding them on my own has proven to be very difficult.
Yeah. Well, if you'd like, we can forward that email you sent us up to a couple. I mean, we've got a ton of buddies in the field.
Oh yeah, I always when I end up, you know, when you send me a link to this, I always go back and say, if you can send me some contact info for other podcasters that I could approach, you know, that has helped me. Some people have helped me doing that, and. But, you know, I guess the number of podcasts out there, I think, is astronomical.
Yeah, totally. And then, you know, there's a smaller percentage that want to even approach these subjects and talk about it. I mean, there's a lot of mainstream podcasts too. And,
right.
You know, but I mean, you've done a great job at articulating your book and articulating the problem and the blunder and all the data. I mean, so, you know, yeah, I think you'll be great on going on more podcasts, and your book will get out there. Yeah.
Yeah, the reaction has always been good when I've done podcasts.
Yeah.
People have been very happy with them. And but again, you need to get on a lot of podcasts.
Yeah, yeah. You need to do your own self-promotion now, because this isn't something that's going to get viral on its own.
I've never been good at this kind of marketing sales thing. That's not where my head has been in my whole career. So it's a challenge. And so if you can send me some contact info for other podcasters, that would be terrific. I keep approaching people. I've tried to go to these sites, but that's why I've hired this booking agency. It's out of the Philippines, interestingly enough.
Yeah.
But I think it was Tim James who gave me their name and recommendation. So now I've just started to work with them, and they haven't yet ginned up the sales pitch that they're going to use, but I've paid them enough money to try them out to get me on 10 new podcasts. So we'll see.
No, that's good. That's good. Yeah. I mean, we do have a lot of people.
We'll
do have
info.
A lot of
to our buddy Mark.
Yeah. 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 Mark too. Yeah.
Mark
yeah.
will be able to get yeah. it out to everybody. He's a booking agent for a bunch of great shows. But I mean, that's okay, because we appreciate that you've sort of had your head down in the books and been working on this stuff so that you could present in such a great way for us here. And, you know, it's just more and more of these professionals that are telling me to stay the fuck away from this vaccine. Even people who've got
I can tell you that if you saw everything that I see on a daily basis from medical physicians and researchers, there's a kind of, it's a group that's hard to get into, but it's a discussion group, a Google group, and it has, I think, about 300 people allowed in. And I can tell you that every day I'd rather spend my time reading what these people are posting. But I can tell you that, conservatively speaking, I would say at least 70 to 80%, if not more, have very negative views about the vaccine.
Yeah.
And these are the smartest people around. Absolutely. So
do the dumbest people around. So
yeah. Well, it's good that, thanks for your time, and really appreciate you staying long for us. It's been great chat. So we'll connect you with other people. And honestly, if you feel like doing an audio version of your book, we'll help you out with that. So
I never gave it any thought. Yeah.
Think about it and let us know, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you, guys.
All right. It was awesome. Okay, buddy.
Okay, Joel. Have a good night.
Stay well. Stay healthy.
Okay. Yeah, you too. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. And that was our first half with Joel Hirshhorn. What'd you think, Darren?
Oh, I just liked it. I liked it. That old guy was blowing my mind here and there. Seems like super open-minded. Got the shot, didn't like it. You know, he's right there. I mean, he's like that other fella that, you know, is super pro-vax, but super against this one.
Yes, it seems like there is a contingency that's like that. Yeah.
I think the doctors will start to, I still trust the Canadian doctors too, that they'll start to flip it around in the end. I really do. It looks like a bunch of the Toronto doctors are starting to freak out.
Yeah, like I said, I think that this guy's approaching it from the right way, where it's like, hey, this is all the stuff that could have been done, you know, all the vitamins, all the protocols, all the ivermectin, all that stuff.
Comeuppance will be had, I think. I think people will get their comeuppance. I hope. Maybe they won't.
The second, if you like the first half, the second half is even better. We get into vitamin D and boosting the immune system, and how most people don't need to take it. We talk about natural immunity a little bit, about the mainstream media control over info, basically calling it the corporate media now, not the mainstream anymore, because they are no longer mainstream. They're just corporate shills. Talk about shedding, actually, of the jab and asymptomatic spread, new treatments. There's a nasal spray from Canada, the nitric oxide one called Sanotease. I'll put a link in the show notes to that.
We just buy it.
And he talked about... the Google group of frontline doctors and stuff that he's involved with. So, yeah, I don't know if we can buy it. We probably can't in Canada. They could probably sell it to other countries, but they can't sell it in Canada.
We should see if we should order some or get one of our friends to order some and send it back to us.
That's a good idea. Let's do it. I was just kidding about that. But
I'm going back to the States Wednesday.
Can you bring some animal supplements back for me?
I'll bring whatever you want back, buddy.
Animal supplements. I can't. I tried to order it from Dr. Saladino, and I can't.
I don't.
They don't ship to Canada.
I mean, maybe they'll listen to this and they'll prove me wrong, but I don't think there's any chance they're going to search me during COVID. I mean, I'm thinking.
Well, they have a 1 in 10,000 chance to pick up the COVID. I mean, even if there's something there,
I've got some crazy thoughts running through the back of my head. Let's just leave it at that. Things I could bring home.
fireworks
yeah. A whole bunch of fireworks. Anyway, anything else?
That's it.
All right, guys, thanks for listening.
Oh, we got to tell people how to get the second half,
right? If you want to sign up for Plus, get the second half of all these shows, keep us going, keep us growing. For americaoutlaw.ca, click the button there, sign up for Plus, bam bam. If you get caught in that login loop, click on refresh, go back to grandamericaoutlaw.ca, click on plus content, should get in that way. If not, email me. I can't figure out how to fix that either. I'm not a web guy. You know what? That's going to be the next thing we invest in now that Graham's got his new computer, is maybe an actual website. Our first actual website, not made by Darren.
Yeah.
It'd be tough.
Yeah, but you've been making a lot lately. You're doing a good job.
I have been making a lot.
What's the logon loop?
I don't know. I get emails once in a while from people that get caught in the login page constantly refreshing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's not terrible.
Yeah.
The website's not terrible.
Yeah.
But it's not. I mean, it's made by me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We do it all ourselves here,
except for ourselves.
Yeah, actually, everything. We do it in this show. Yeah. Everything.
Everything. Every fucking thing.
Yeah. Anyways, your support is very, very much appreciated. It will become more and more important in the future. You will see.
AmericaOutlaw.ca. Sign up for Plus today. We love you. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends about this show. And we'll see you next week.
Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never political anyhow. Since when did you start trusting in the government? Since when was it okay to ridicule and shame your neighbor? Your opinions have become, your opinions have become as fickle as artificial flavors. What matters most to you? What the TV host told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north, oh true? Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never religious anyhow. Since when did you kiss the ring on the hand of the Pope? Since when do we need pharmaceuticals to cope? Your soul has become, ever-loving soul has become as brittle as communion wafers. What matters most to you? What the Holy Ghost told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north, oh true? I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. Bureaucrats think I'm non-essential anyhow. Since when has our culture become so lowbrow? It's all touchscreens, and nobody has any know-how. Your idea of fun, your idea of fun is taking 1,001 photos of your duck face. Matters most to you what the celebrity's post told you was cool, or a moral compass that points true north, oh true. I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your 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 sacred cow. I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill, your sacred cow. I'm gonna kill, your sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your sacred cow.